Blog Talk Radio. Hi, this is Marnie Svedberg, and I welcome you to Marnie and Friends, a place where leaders share practical, helpful, and encouraging ways to get anything important done faster, better, and smarter. Right now, I encourage you to sit back, buckle up, and join us for fun, laughter, practical help, and clear thinking, the kind of discussion that focuses our attention off of the fluff and onto the most important stuff in life. Again, welcome to Marnie's Friends. Let's get going. Hey, everybody. Welcome. This is Marnie, and I am so glad that you're here with us this afternoon. I've had a few weeks off, took a family vacation with my husband down to visit our daughter, and had a great time and a wonderful break. Happy to be back at it. Today, we are doing a training program on women's ministry for all ages, bridging the gap, and our guest is Amanda Hayes. She's one of our qualified speakers over at womenspeakers.com. She is also the founder of God's Truth in Love Ministries. She's a pastor's wife, the mother of three. She writes weekly religious columns for four area newspapers, and she's also a speaker at women's events, including ladies' fellowship meetings, retreats, and conferences. So welcome, Amanda.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone.
Okay, this is Marnie, and I've got a little crackle on that phone. I'm not sure what's going on with that, but we'll just make the best of it. Amanda, when did you get involved with women's ministry? When was the first memory you have of being involved in a women's ministry?
Well, Marnie, I've grown up in church, and so I remember even as a young child, the women in the church meeting together and having programs and events. And then probably more recently when I became a pastor's wife about 10 years ago, was asked to be the leader of a women's ministry group and help to plan and coordinate events and Bible studies, and became a speaker about 4 or 5 years ago, and now have had the opportunity to speak at several ladies events, and that's basically my experience with women's ministry.
Wow. Well, I tell you, Amanda, what you're saying is great, but how we're hearing it is awful. We have got so much static on your line, and I don't know what to do about it, except I'm just going to ask you to hang up and call back in, and we'll see if we can lose that static. Go ahead and hang up, Amanda, and call me right back, okay?
Okay, so sorry, Marnie. I'm on a cell. I'm going to try to see if I can get some better reception.
Sounds good. Okay, thanks. Okay, and for those of you who are listening, if you go to marniesfriends.com, Amanda's created a downloadable worksheet for you there that you can follow along. And then also she has the link to her blog as well as her Facebook page so you can connect with her afterwards. Women's ministry is, of course, a big passion of mine. I was a women's ministry leader for over 20 years, and I was kind of wondering when I'd get to ever say this, but our church, our women's ministry is putting on an event this Friday night for our church. It's for families, and Minute to Win It. There we go. Minute to Win It is the name of the event that they're hosting, and it's actually a fundraiser. There's a silent auction with it. They're having a soup and sandwich supper that you can donate to, and all the funds go to missions. And then they're doing, if you've seen on TV, the Minute to Win It game. They just do renditions of that game that they can do, and people actually work through. It's the second one that they've had, and very, very fun event. So there's an idea for you. We've got Amanda back on the line here with us, and we're going to see if this reception is a little better. Hi, Amanda.
Hi, Marnie. I'm so sorry. Can you hear me better?
Wow. It is still so crackly. I'm just afraid, Amanda, that this is not... You don't happen to have a landline anywhere near you?
I'm going to find one really quickly, okay?
Okay. Sorry about that. It's so terrible. Okay, go ahead and find a landline, and we'll chat, and we'll hear you back in a minute here.
Thank you.
Okay, bye. This is Marnie again, and while we're waiting for Amanda to come back, I've been working with radio and doing this for quite a long time, and usually there's no problem with people calling in even on their cell phones, but every once in a while there's a problem like this, and so we just got to make the best of it, and that's what I encourage you to do in all areas of your life. Prepare the best you can, and then as things come up, just give them to God and keep going the best that you can in the moment. If you are calling because this is, if you're listening rather, because this is Women's Ministry Training, one of the things I want you to know that's available to you at no cost is a Women's Ministry Guide. If you go over to Marnie.com and select on the top there, you'll see 12 life zones. Select the Women's Ministry tab. And under there, on the right side, there's some different resources that you can get out if you're a women's ministry leader. And one of them is called the Women's Ministry Guide. This is just a small book, but it has been downloaded thousands of times and has helped to start really literally thousands of women's ministries around the world. I hear from gals all around the world who have used the guide to start or to build their women's ministry. In addition, I hear from gals who have groups of women's ministries that they work with. They ask permission to reproduce it for all of the women's ministry leaders in their group. It's really a great little handbook to make sure that you have your foundations set properly. So what happens a lot of times in ministry is that we either inherit a ministry or we're starting one and we do the best we can, but we don't know everything that needs to go into the foundational level, or we inherit a ministry that didn't have all the foundational bricks in place when we got it. And so we're wondering why this one side of the ministry is always lopsided. Well, it's probably missing a foundational brick. And so what this little handbook does, and it's free, what it does is it just takes you through those foundational bricks to make sure that you are building your women's ministry in a godly way. Well, now I have a little bit of a challenge here. This one just came out here right this second, so I'm going to see if this is Amanda. Amanda, is this you?
It's me, Marnie. Can you hear me now?
Oh, that is like 1,000 times better. Fantastic.
Okay. I'm so sorry. I grabbed the nearest landline.
Well, good for you. No, this is great. We can hear you. We can understand what you're saying. Super.
Okay, great. I'm so sorry.
Well, we're going to just dive right in here because we've had a couple minutes of preliminaries, but we're going to go ahead right away. And our topic today is about women's ministry for all ages, and we're talking about how to bridge the gap. Amanda, this is a topic that you love to talk about, and maybe you can tell us why.
Yes, it is. I have been doing women's ministry for 4 or 5 years, like I said, and I have been with women of many different ages in my experience. And one of the common questions that I have when older women contact me about their women's ministry is that they can't seem to get the younger women involved in their ministry. And so what I've began doing is just compiling some information that might would help women to build programs that would interest women of all ages. Is
awesome.
That kind of what you all wanted to hear today?
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. And it is a really common concern that, you know, the older ladies, the gals who've been doing women's ministry for several years are very still involved, but the younger gals just aren't coming out. So let's
exactly.
go ahead and dive right in. Point number one was that you got to recognize the differences between the women in the church. So why don't you go ahead and speak to that?
That's exactly right. And where I am pulling some scripture from today is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where it's talking about spiritual gifts. And it says that there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. And I'm reading 1 Corinthians 12, starting with verse 4, and it says there are different kinds of service, but the same Lord, different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. And so basically what it's saying there is that there are so many different people with so many different kind of gifts, but we're all working from the same source of power, the same Lord, and that is the Holy Spirit. And when you're talking about women's ministry, you have women who are coming to your church and to your events from all kinds of different backgrounds. You have women with different childhood experiences, women with different levels of education, women with different levels of income, personalities. They're going through different hurts, pains, joys, and triumphs in their lives. And they also may have a very different maturity in their Christian walk. So you've got women who are coming to you from just all kinds of different situations, and you might be scratching your head going, how can I pull all of these ladies together in an event or a fellowship or a ministry that is going to minister to everyone, no matter what they're coming here with today? And so my thing is that, you know, if the body, our body can work together as one unit, then I believe that the church and women's ministry can also function together as one unit as well.
Yeah, yep, for sure. So when you think about the differences in the women, as you're planning events, as you're getting ready to reach out to them, what would be a couple of the critical things that you would do you use a survey to figure out these differences? Do you just observe it with your eyes? Tell me how you actually get to the point where you understand what you're looking at.
Right, and what I would recommend to sort of get the demographics of all the different women who are coming to you, I do recommend that you do a survey. If you have women who are not participating, maybe you can ask them why they're not participating, or if there's a particular event that they would like to see planned, that they would like to attend, then obviously go with that. And, you know, you can also be just a really good observer of the kind of women that you have in your church. Where are they coming from? Maybe you know some of them personally, you know their backgrounds, maybe you're in a larger church and you don't, and there really is no other way to find out if you're unaware of all of the different backgrounds that women are coming to you from than to just ask. And I mm-hmm. wanted to read 1 Corinthians 12:12, where it says the body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. So when all of the women come together in a church, under the roof of any church, in the name of Jesus, they are one body. And I know that it's a tall order, but it is the job of the women's ministry leader to unite those ladies as one group. And so do whatever you have to do to get in and to learn your ladies, to get to know them, and to know what you're up against when you're trying to minister to your particular group of ladies.
That's awesome. Now, earlier while we were, if you're just joining us right now, Amanda has a little background noise going at her end, but she found a phone that worked. Yay! A little earlier we were having a little technical difficulty with the phone. But while we were waiting for her, I was talking to you about the Women's Ministry Guide at Marnie.com under the Women's Ministry tab. And also under that same Women's Ministry tab there at Marnie.com, you can get an editable survey for your church. It's a survey that you can do a short one page, or else you can do a longer survey. And it's already laid out with the questions that have been collected from just a ton of other churches' surveys that will help you get to know your women better and help you to know where to start. Another idea that we've used too with our gals is when you do get them together to do a few like an icebreaker game where you ask them specific questions. Everybody
Absolutely.
With children under the age of 9, go over on this wall. Everybody with 10 to 15 year olds, go over here, like that. And what happens is that you've got that question that separates them out by age, but then like another question, the next question is everybody whose favorite food is chocolate,
Exactly.
You kind of do funny things like that. But you can actually learn a really lot about your gals, the gals
yes,
who came, of course, only the gals who came.
Right.
But that's what's beautiful about a survey, is you can get the other
true,
gals,
That's true, because you can actually reach the ladies who maybe are not coming and who are not participating
right.
and get some information about them. But talking about icebreakers, I did one at one ladies' event just to kind of get everybody up and moving and getting to know one another. We did a toe jam hoedown.
Oh, my goodness,
and we actually went around and looked at each other's feet and filled out a survey about one another's feet, which also tell you a lot about a lady.
Okay, but you have to keep going because I can't imagine what it tells you about a lady.
Well, obviously, if she has very well-manicured feet, maybe she has a little bit more time to take care of herself than, say, a busy mother would, and just things in general like that, just kind of how well they're taking care of, how much time they're able to spend on themselves and things like that.
How did you make that not feel uncomfortable for somebody who has maybe icky feet?
Well, we made it just a really big fun time,
okay.
And no one laughed at anyone. We all laughed together because no one likes to have anyone look at their feet.
Right.
And that was the whole icebreaker part of it, was that every lady in the room was shying away and wanting to hug the wall and say, no, don't look at my feet.
Right.
But that is what united the ladies together as a group, is that we're all the same. We all have the same feelings. So
that was a very daring icebreaker.
Yes, it was. But it was really fun, too.
That's great. That's great. Well, that's really funny. I've never heard of that one, and I can imagine that there was a lot of gals that were like, no, you are not looking at my feet.
Yes.
One of the funniest things I've ever seen is the marriage one where you take a bunch of couples, like 12 couples, and you put them behind a curtain, and all you can see is of the couples, and then you have to guess who's who.
Exactly.
That also is hilarious. It's hilarious.
Right.
Okay. All right. Well, let's move off of feet.
Yes.
Back onto women's ministry. Okay. So the next point that you have is to set goals for your group and assign tasks based on spiritual gifts. And I love that.
Exactly. And again, you can look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 again, because it starts off at the beginning of the chapter talking about spiritual gifts. And you can find a partial list there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 of spiritual gifts, but also in Romans chapter 12. And spiritual gifts is another topic which I have taught on many times, because it's one where a lot of people, when you start talking about them, they say, well, I don't know what my spiritual gifts are. And they're very easy to figure out. You can basically just look at your life and what do you enjoy doing and what are you good at. And most likely that's going to be the area of your spiritual gift. But there's also many resources online and in printed at your Christian bookstore. You can take a spiritual gift test, and you can actually figure out what your biblical spiritual gifts are. And then what you want to do as a women's ministry leader is you want to set goals as a group for your fellowship, your events, whatever it is you want to do as a ladies group. Get together and decide, what do we want to accomplish as a group? Do we just want to do Bible study? Do we just want a fellowship? Is it mission work, evangelism, community outreach? What fruit do you really want your women's ministry to bear? And it needs to be tangible fruit. What results are we going to get from this? And I highly recommend that you adopt a cause. Find a cause in your community, in the world. It really doesn't matter, that you really want to minister to some people in the world. And not only that, but you'll find that you'll grow closer together as a group when you do this. But when you adopt your cause, when you think about what it is you want to accomplish, then you make a list of things that need to be done to accomplish this goal, a sort of to-do list, if you will. And then once you have your cause or your goals, you make a list of the steps that need to take place to accomplish that, then you look at your spiritual gifts that are within your ladies' circle, your ladies' group. And you say, okay, ladies, this is the things that we want to see happen within this group. How can you use your particular spiritual gift to make this happen? And have a couple other comments, but do you want to jump in here, Marnie, for just a second?
Well, I love what you're saying. I mean, this is such a big category here. Number two is just huge.
Yes.
Let's start back at the goals part. Let's spend a little bit of more time developing that, because that is so important, is that you understand why you exist as a group.
Well, that's exactly right, and I was going to go in that a little bit more later, but I'll go ahead and mention this right now, because what you have right now basically in the world today is a lot of really, really busy women.
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
When they weigh in on their activities and what they're going to be able to participate in and what they're not going to be able to participate in, they're going to have to prune activities from their life that don't bear any fruit.
Right.
Right.
And most likely, if you're just having ladies' events and you're not really accomplishing a larger goal than just meeting together, you're probably going to have a lot of women who are not going to be able to participate simply because their lack of time, and they have to prioritize. And that's why I recommend adopting a cause and setting a goal for your group, because in the end, at the end of the day, you're going to have events and meetings that are going to have tangible results, not only for the ladies who participate in your group, but probably for your community or your country or another country, whoever it is you want to minister to. You want to have some kind of need that is being met. That's the whole reason that you want to meet as a group, is that you want to meet someone's needs.
Well, as I'm listening to you, I'm remembering the first time I heard from a group that was, and I can't remember which country it was in now, right now, but they were starting a women's ministry group. And the reason that they wanted to start a group was because they were in an impoverished area themselves, and they were going to take meals to the tent people who were living in the forest, who had just like a cardboard box over a branch, and that was their house. And these women in this country said, "We want to start a women's ministry to do that. Can your book help us?" And I'm like, "Well, yeah, because it's the same basic start for every women's ministry, whether you're building a huge conference ministry or a ministry taking meals to tent people." So the bottom line is that you have to have your foundational bricks in place, which is that you're doing it the way God wants you to do it. And then from there you build out. But it's amazing to me, as I'm listening to you, I'm thinking about all the women that I've heard from over the years. And I would say that probably, you know, just guessing, I'm thinking like 90% or more of the gals who contact me and tell me why they're starting a women's ministry start with the cause. That's really what God did. But some of you who are listening, you might have inherited a women's ministry and you don't even know anymore. It's like there might have been a cause to begin with, but now there's not. You've got it's critically important that you have that cause and that goal. Yeah, I love that.
Exactly.
So let's go ahead then. Did you have any more comments there?
No, I just wanted to basically say also that when it comes to spiritual gifts, you really don't want to get involved in something that is not your area of your spiritual gift and your area of expertise. And so when you are choosing your cause or your goal for your group, and you're making a list, and women are taking assignments, as a women's ministry leader, just don't encourage women to take on something that maybe they don't truly have a talent in or calling in, because they will wind up extremely miserable, and that really is not going to meet the goal of your fellowship meetings or events.
Yeah. Now, I've seen, like at our church, I've seen God move spiritual gifts in and out of our church, our women's group, as well as our church as a whole. For a season of time, there will be, evangelists who just, oh my goodness, they are just awesome. And then for a season of time, there'll be people who can maybe plan major events. And then for a season of time, there'll be people who are just like maniac fun people who can just have events for, you know, women and draw them in and just have a blast and then give them the gospel like that. You know, so what we found is that you have to be willing to not just set this thing, and I use foundational stones purposely, because the foundation you want to set in stone, you want to have it built on truth. You want to have it built on Jesus Christ. You want to have it under the umbrella of what your church stands for. But then once you start building events and programs and stuff like that, you want to really be flexible with that, because God's going to move people in and out of your women's ministry, people
That's
with
right.
different giftings. And I love
That's
I
right.
love the spiritual gifts and just how much better things flow when we're in tune with what God did there in gifting people.
That's exactly right. Everyone in the church has gifts, and when all of the gifts are used together to accomplish a task, it really paints a beautiful picture of how God intended for the body of Christ to function, and we can see that very clearly. But I am surprised sometimes to hear that people are not familiar with this teaching and are not sure what their spiritual gifts are, but that's going to be really an eye-opener for your women's ministry. Maybe if you're kind of stuck and not sure where to go next, find out what people's spiritual gifts are and start acting on them and give them some jobs based on what that area of expertise is, and you're going to see God move in some amazing ways.
Absolutely. Now, one of the things, if you're listening and you're a member at Marnie.com, or if you want to be a member at Marnie.com, under the Women's Ministry tab, there's a whole section of training modules, just like the one we're doing right now, and one of those is on spiritual gifts, and there is a free spiritual gifts analysis available with that training, so go ahead and check that out, too. Before
That's
we
awesome.
Leave the topic, before we leave the topic of spiritual gifts, Amanda, what are your spiritual gifts?
Well, my spiritual gifts are basically leadership and teaching, and that's basically the two areas that I usually score the highest in when I've taken the spiritual gifts in the past, and even more specifically, I feel extremely called to do women's ministry, and I'll tell you a quick story about that. Once my husband was deeply involved in youth ministry as an associate pastor, and so naturally, you know, I got asked to teach a children's Sunday school class, and I agreed to, although I did not feel called to this particular area of ministry, I took the class anyway. And what I found is that I was very soon unhappy teaching the class and probably not doing as good a job as maybe another lady would have done. And I have found now since that when I am leading and teaching women's ministry and writing and speaking to adults, that is where I have seen the biggest fruits of my ministry, and I've also found the greatest fulfillment and peace in my ministry. Marnie?
Well, Amanda, are you there?
Yes.
Well, this is just the most interesting call. I don't know why my phone just decided to hang up all of a sudden. It wasn't touching anything. Okay, but guys, that's okay. Thanks for hanging with us. What you were saying was right before I was so rudely interrupted and rudely interrupted you, you were telling us about teaching this class and how it wasn't the perfect fit for you, and you figured that out. So then what happened then?
Yes, okay, I'm sorry. I just found myself very unhappy in teaching this class because I basically agreed to do it just out of a sense of obligation, not really because I felt called to teach this particular class. But now that I have done ministry, women's ministry for about the past 4 or 5 years, I have found that teaching and leading adults really has given me the greatest sense of fulfillment and satisfaction and peace, and even bore the most fruit for my ministry, and that's adult ministry.
Hmm. What's fun about interviewing people and doing these shows is that how many times we balance each other. I come from also the leadership or the area of administration as my spiritual gift, and then the second one I have is encouragement. Yours
right.
is teaching, and encouragement is more like exhortation,
right.
not quite teaching. But what was interesting is that I kind of grew up with the people, the women I was encouraging. So I look back at my life, and I began encouraging 4-year-old girls when I was about 11 or 12. And
wow.
then I moved on, and by my late teens, I was encouraging, you know, little girls. And then by
right.
my early 20s, when I was married, I was leading senior high girls. And then
yeah.
I remember the day the first adult woman asked me for advice with her child, and I thought, oh, wow, now I'm encouragement to other women, and then
exactly.
got involved in women's ministry. And so mm-hmm. I really, instead of feeling like I wasn't equipped for one, it was like a journey for me. I became
right.
equipped to different groups of people along
exactly.
the way. So
right.
So everybody's journey is different, but it's always so interesting to see. And what you'll find is when you get the woman plugged into the right place,
That's
it
right.
is joy and peace and productivity, and you know, you just have all kinds of benefits there that you're missing when it's a square wheel in a round hole. You know,
that's
it just doesn't
exactly
work.
Exactly right. And another point I want to make really quickly is that it's really important not to try to take on too many jobs at one time. We were never meant to try to complete our job or our task and everybody else's too.
Right.
But as
right.
women, I think we so often try to just do whatever needs to be done because that's our nature. And it's difficult not to in a world where multitasking is applauded, if not even required, in many careers that we might be in. So it's important to stick to your spiritual gift, your specific task, and to not get busy trying to do other things that you're not called to do. And I think we as women should do the one thing that we're called to do, that we're destined to do, and do it with excellence, rather than trying to perform many jobs with mediocrity.
Well, Amanda, I'm going to have to step back and just say there are exceptions to that rule. I was just talking to my son earlier today, and we have a restaurant and we have a
yes.
retail store, and
yes.
plus I do this online stuff and have the mentorship program and all that. And so
yes.
I'm always juggling a lot of balls, but God's equipped me to do that. But right now, just right now, we
yes.
are. We had while we were on vacation, we had two people resign at the retail store, both for
oh, wow.
excellent reasons. We're happy
wow.
for them, but wow, okay. And then we had one resign at the restaurant. In addition to that, our team leader at the restaurant, of our day manager at the restaurant, and a team manager at the retail store happened to be a mother and mother-in-law to a girl who used to work for us also, and she's now having a baby who happens to have a heart disorder, and
oh,
they
wow.
both need to be gone for 1 week. So
right.
I'm looking at my upcoming weeks being four people at once, not including the one I was built to be.
Exactly.
Now, what I told my son, because I said, you know what, I keep saying that God knows what he's doing here, and he's going to equip me to do this, and he's going to bring other people that I don't even know about
right.
in to help, and there's going to be time to do everything we're created to do. Otherwise, God is a bad time manager. So for
right.
those of you who are listening, who God has you in a position just this moment where you have to be several people at once. So Amanda wasn't saying feel bad about that or anything like that. It's just that when we're registering for tasks,
right.
I would
right.
have never said, yep, I'll be the day manager here and the day manager there, and I'll also cover two part-time shifts, and I'll do everything else. You would never say that, but when God puts you in that position, then God will equip you to do that.
Right.
And I'm talking to myself.
And certainly I would say that there are seasons of life that
there
we are.
Are
a little bit more busy. We may have
mm-hmm.
to wear
yep.
many hats, but we just want to yep. make sure that it's not a lifestyle, a lifetime lifestyle.
Doing what God created us to do. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Awesome,
right.
awesome. Okay, well, between all of our interruptions, we need to move on here.
Okay.
Okay, we're going to encourage women to meet one another's needs. This is
yes,
beautiful.
And that's where we need to get to, absolutely, because, again, that should be one of the main goals of your women's ministry, if not the main goal. And when we were talking about goals a while ago, and I want to read 1 Corinthians chapter 12 again. I'm still in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 25 and 26. So it says, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for one another. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And that's what we just need to keep in mind, is that we are called to rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. And we're talking about women who may be in all different stages of life and all different ages. Sometimes we just never know what another lady in our group is going through, but if you do see someone hurting, and maybe you're not sure why, maybe you can reach out to her and find out what's going on and try to minister to women in the stage that they're in their life and whatever it is that they're going to. And I recommend also to have a plan in place to minister to women who are going through major life-changing events. Don't wait until you have a death or the birth of a child or something like that, and you're sort of scratching your heads and saying, you know, we just don't know what to do, have a plan in place to be able to minister to women in different stages and different events in their life.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm thinking, I'll let you share in a moment, too, your churches, but I know for our church, we actually started a prayer chain many, like 25 years ago or whatever, but it was because we had some major events happen all at once, and we didn't really have a way to communicate them to each other. But
exactly.
If you haven't started a prayer chain, that's an excellent ministry. We have another ministry where we provide meals for families in need going through different things that they just need meals provided. We have another ministry where it's a families in need dollar fund where instead of doing a fundraiser, there's just dollars in that fund, and people can put money toward families in need. And those are the ones that are coming right off the top of my head. Do you have other examples, Amanda, of actual ministries?
I was thinking about maybe women who have recently gone through a divorce. Maybe they've lost a job. And another group that I wanted to cover was Empty Nest, women who are facing all of their children being gone from the home for the first time. That may be something that she's going through. And I want the women's ministry leaders to sort of think beyond just maybe the ways that you've always did things in the past. I know you talked about providing a meal, and that's an excellent way to minister to women in different situations. But also think about having a available resources, maybe a resource room where you have magazines or books or a list of websites or maybe DVDs or movies or something like that that would minister to these women during these different life changes, and that they can take these resources home, check them out, and use them when they need them, and then return them for another person who might be going through the same thing maybe later on.
Yeah, awesome. Awesome. Those are great ideas. Another thing that we haven't mentioned out loud, and you're probably already thinking of it, but is Bible studies for women where they can actually get to know one another, share their personal prayer requests in a safe environment, and grow closer to God that way, too. Yeah.
Yes.
Even
yes.
Women's Sunday school classes, a lot of different options available there. Cool.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Well, let's go ahead and talk about the events then a little bit.
Yes. Sorry, I had to turn my page there. Again, we already talked a while ago about women being extremely busy and how hard it is to set aside time for themselves. Maybe they have small children or difficult schedules or different reasons that they have a hard time participating in events. And so one thing that it's important to do as a planner is to be creative and also to be versatile. Be willing to change the day and time of your meetings to encourage attendance, or be flexible. Maybe change up the days and the times that you have your meetings. And maybe the way that you've always done your meetings is not meeting the needs of the majority of the women in your church. And so you definitely want to sort of take inventory of the ages of the women in your church and try to think of ways that you could plan an event that would bring them all together at the same time and make it convenient for women in a lot of different life situations and stages.
Amanda, what does yours look like right now? What do you guys do?
Right now we have, you mean in my particular church?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, we have a group that meets once a month on a Monday night in which they eat together and read some scripture and discuss it together. And I am from a very small church, and so for right now that kind of works for the small church that I attend. And I'm kind of thinking about larger churches where you might be able to be a little bit more flexible and maybe even offer more than one meeting. so that you have women who can attend, maybe some women can attend one and some can attend another. A larger church in my area that does a Bible study, they offer one course in the morning and then they do one in the evening. And they have totally different women in different stages of life that participate in each one.
Yeah, that's more like what ours looks like, too. There's a senior ladies' aid, there's a middle group, and there's a younger group, and they meet at different times because that's what works for the different people that are involved, and it just, it does work, but you do have to just keep asking the question, is this still working? Is this still working?
Exactly,
you know?
Exactly. Yeah. And one particular event that I wanted to mention one really quickly that I planned, just to give some ladies an idea, was a mother-daughter spa day in which we hosted it on a Saturday morning. It was like a brunch, and the ladies did not have to bring anything. We just simply picked up some danishes, made some coffee. We had some relaxing music in the background. We lit some candles, and the mothers were actually able just to spend some very quiet, relaxing time with their daughters, painting nails and just talking and doing hair. And I think that one thing that women are desperate for nowadays is just some peace and quiet.
Yeah,
and
just
this
time.
Particular,
yeah.
Exactly, this particular event provided that. Again, it met a need, and it was convenient. It was at a convenient time where mothers and could participate with their daughters.
Again, too, I know a lot of times when gals are starting to think about, you know, planning their first spa day or their first retreat or women's, you know, ladies' night out or something, they ask a lot of questions about dates and times, and that is a great thing to do. Spend time there. What is the best day and time to be able to meet as many people as possible? And you'll never pick a perfect one, but
exactly.
You can pick one that works the most for everybody.
Exactly.
And also, if there's, like, for instance, in our community, a lot of people work shift work, and that's been a concern that we've had through the years. You know, is this going to leave out, every time we have this, are we going to every time leave out an entire segment of our women? Because if that's
exactly.
the case, we need to either have a second thing for them, or we have to alternate it so that every other month or whatever, they can participate as well. So just to be sensitive. People like that. Now, how do you do it? Of course, we've talked about, you know, possibly having different segments for the different ages. I guess I'm thinking about if you're trying to reach all the age groups at once, what we do in our church is we have these monthly meetings or even quarterly, whatever they are for their group, with the different age groups. And then a few times a year, we all come together for like a mother-daughter tea, and we come together again
exactly.
at Christmas for an all-ladies
mm-hmm.
church event. Is that kind
mm-hmm.
of what you guys do too?
Yes, and that's a wonderful idea, is to change it up and offer different types of fellowships and events throughout the year so that you're not doing the same thing all the time, every month, every quarter, every year, whatever, so that you are limiting only a certain group of women being able to participate. Absolutely do different things throughout the year, different days, different times, different events, so that at least every woman in the church is going to have an opportunity to participate in something in the women's ministry in the church throughout the year. Absolutely.
Have we have point number five here. I don't know if we've covered it, though. Point number five was plan fellowships. I can hear it. Are those your kids in the back?
No, it's not. I'm actually in a public building.
Oh, well, we're happy you're with us for whatever.
Yes.
I was just thinking maybe that was your choice. I can tell a lot about you just by how calm you are about this whole thing. So
I've kind of learned to roll with, as a pastor's wife and a mother of three, you kind of learn to just roll with the punches.
Absolutely, absolutely.
But on point five, planning fellowships that minister to women in different stages of life, I just had a couple more things I wanted to mention, and then I'm going to tell you a little bit more about my ministry and how to contact me, and I'm going to have to let you go. But I think it's getting close to that time. But anyway, planned fellowships that minister to women in different stages of life, what I really would like for the leaders to do is to look at the obstacles that you think, or even, again, find out what are the obstacles that are preventing women from being able to participate. Is it a child care issue? Is it a financial issue? Is it a health issue? Do they have difficult relationships maybe at home? Is it their work schedule? Is it how far they live from the church? Or maybe they don't even have a car to drive to your event. And just make sure that when you're kind of find out what those obstacles are, that you do everything within your power to make it possible for women to come. Because, like I said, you may have some with small children who don't have childcare, or you may have be having events at night and you've got an older lady who doesn't like to get out at night or drive at night. And so just try to maybe provide childcare or provide a ride for some of your older ladies who don't like to drive after dark. And that's one way that you can sort of minister to women in different stages of life, is to try to break down those barriers that might be preventing them from being able to participate because of that stage of life that they're in.
Yeah, for sure. Now, when you think about bridging the gap, what has been an example of a time when you really saw this working out beautifully in your experience?
Well, I think that this is a wonderful time to mention a ministry that I'm a part of, and it is called Radiate Joy, Hope, and Praise. And I'm actually on a team of three ladies, and we actually go into churches and we minister to ladies groups together. And what is so remarkable about the three of us is that I'm in my 30s, one lady is in her 40s, and another lady is in her 50s, and she is a retired elementary school educator and counselor. And so we're able to minister to three different sort of generations of women there because of our ages and experiences. And so I would recommend that within your group that you're bringing people in to minister to the ladies in different walks of life, so that it's not always the same age person who is most likely going to relate to other women of her age. Bring in ladies of different ages and different stages of life so that everyone sort of feels like they can relate to someone at some time.
I love that. That's beautiful. And what we know for sure from experience is that if somebody knows one of the presenters, they're much more likely to come. And so by tapping into even gals in your own church group, you might have someone from their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s for an event.
Yes.
Each share just a five-minute testimony, and just having one person from their own age group.
Exactly.
It's just amazing how that works, but it's a huge draw. I love that idea.
Yes. Well, you can relate to so much better.
And everybody, you can learn more about Amanda's ministry over at womenspeakers.com. Radiant Joy. Who are the other speakers that are with you in that one?
Okay, it's called Radiate Joy,
Radiant
Hope, Praise. Yes,
okay.
And the lady that represents Joy in our group, her name is Joyce Ashley. She is the lady in her 50s that is a retired educator, and she is also a writer and a speaker. She's authored two books, and she also has a daily radio program called Joy Juice. And the second lady is Tammy Arendt. She is the lady in her 40s, and she is the praise part of our team because she is just a wonderful singer and songwriter who has recorded her first album, and she ministers to the ladies and through her music and through her testimony. And then I represent the hope part, and women of all ages are faced with a multitude of challenges and questions in life. They want to know how they can find joy in unhappy situations, how they can find hope in heartbreaking circumstances, and, you know, can you really praise God in every season of life? And basically, our message is that, yes, you can, because in Philippians 2:15, it tells us to shine like the stars. And that is what we try to do as a ministry, is just share with women how they can really shine with the love of Jesus no matter what situation they're going through.
That's awesome. And you also have a blog that you do. Yeah.
I have a blog. It's www.amandaehayes@blogspot.com.
And just in case you missed that, it was
blogspot.com.
Okay, Amanda, the letter E, and then Hayes is her last name. H A Y E S. Amanda Hayes. And then what is the rest of it? Dot.
It's amandaehayes.blogspot.com.
Right. Okay, great. And
yes,
about, you know, what would people find if they go to your blog?
I actually write weekly religious columns for several newspapers where I'm from in the South, and I actually post all of those articles on my blog, and I cover a variety of different topics, biblical topics, and you can read all of those articles on my blog. You can also send me a friend request on Facebook at Amanda E. Hayes, and you can get to know me a little bit better that way. And you can also email me at HayesBunch@windstream.net. HayesBunch@windstream.net if you would like to ask questions or find out more about my ministry or the Radiate team that I'm a part of also.
That's great. That's great. Now, we have a few minutes left before the end of the program, Amanda. I wonder if you could share with us maybe a retreat that you've been at or a conference that you've been at that they did a really good job of bridging the gap.
Okay. Recently, I just attended a large women's conference, and the conference really reached ladies of a very large, wide age range. We had Sherry Kagi to come in. She's a Dove Award winner, singer, and songwriter. She has a wonderful testimony. And through her testimony, she was able to relate to women who have small children, who or maybe have children who have gone off to college or gotten married now. And just through her testimony of her whole life, she was able to minister to ladies from a wide range of ages and stages of life. They also had moments in the conference that were very, I guess I should say, loud and energetic, which the younger women really, really, really related to. But then there were quieter moments of just sort of reflection where things were just toned down a little bit. And I really feel like those moments sort of allowed the older ladies to have time for that quiet reflection and maybe a calmer atmosphere. And so when you're planning an event, that's really what you have to do is think, okay, what is going to minister to the younger ladies? Do they want it? Do they want it bright or dim, or do they want loud music or soft music or traditional music or contemporary music? And what I have found when you're planning events, and in this particular event that I'm talking about, this conference, a blend of many different types of things is going to minister to the most people at the same time.
Right, and you can really do that and have a theme as well. You don't have to sacrifice one for the other.
Exactly.
You can really do a good job of that. I love how event planners and retreat planners can weave in the more current modern music as well as the hymns and things that will make some of the older people feel welcome and like we know they're there.
Yes,
and yet
exactly.
The younger women feel like we know
exactly.
That they're there
and,
too.
And mm-hmm. Music, I should have mentioned this already, but you know, music is a wonderful tool to use in your fellowships and your events. And I've also helped with a lot of music ministry in the churches that we've served in. And I have found that a blend of different kinds of music really reaches the largest range of people in your church, and it works well with women's ministry too, because when you do limit it to one type all the time, then it's not going to be enjoyed by some. And if you can really blend it, you're going to reach the most people that way.
Another thought I had as we were talking here was about like breakout sessions at a retreat or a women's day, where
Absolutely.
You have, you know, maybe a speaker in the morning and a speaker in the evening, but in the afternoon they can pick some choices. It'd be so wise to build in choices that work for everybody, but not necessarily everybody all at once. So some people might really prefer, again, a quieter type event, where other people might prefer, you know, broom hockey or different
exactly.
things like that.
Exactly.
That you actually think through the different ages, and that's a good time to separate out
yes.
some of that as well. Cool.
Yes.
Very
absolutely.
Good. Well, do
and
you have any closing thoughts? Oh, yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Yeah, you said closing thoughts. One thing that I did not mention earlier when you're talking about bridging the gap and trying to have women relate to each other in a ministry that relates to all of the women. I just want to refer really quickly to Titus 2, where it tells the older women to teach the younger women. And I would like to not add to the Bible, but just add to that thought that there are also things that younger women nowadays can teach the older women that they don't know how to do. And one thing that I have found it sort of comical recently is that a lot of older women would like to keep in touch with their family and their friends, but they do not know how to use technology. They do not know how to use a computer or email or the internet or cell phone or texting and things like this. So that's just one quick, easy way that younger women can teach older women. And then you don't want to exclude the older women teaching the younger women, because there are tasks that we certainly can learn how to do from older women that are going to benefit us.
Absolutely. Not only tasks, but they've lived through so much more drama than we have. They really have a lot more experience at handling tough times than
That's
the younger
exactly
gals do.
Right.
So.
Right.
Yeah, so much to gain from each other. Well,
yes.
This has been a wonderful, multiple time interrupted, but wonderful hour.
Yes,
so
I am so sorry. Yes.
It's not your fault at all. Technology, we always say, you know, it's great when it works, but when it doesn't work, it leaves you kind of in a hitch. So, but we got through it, and we're able to hear you so well, and thank you so much for finding a landline for us so that we could actually hear what you were saying.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much, and I'm going to have to let you go, but I would love to hear from everyone that can through the blog email that was mentioned.
Sounds good. Thanks, Amanda, and thanks, everybody,
okay.
for being here. Hope you have a great rest of the day, and we'll see you next time at Marnie's Friends. Bye-bye.